Stand, be seated, please. Welcome to the worship service of the Main Street Church of Christ. I love y'all. I thank God for this congregation of God's people. I thank God for every one of you sitting here, you wonderful folks. God's blessed us. We always need to go to Him in prayer. I don't pray enough. You don't pray enough. None of us pray enough. And we're going to study about that today. I'd like to honor Sister Briggs a second this morning. I forgot her birthday a couple of weeks ago. She's 86 years young. And that's our dear sister over here in the blue dress. Fine member of this church. I buried her husband and her son. They're fine people, and the family is fine people. Brother Reuben and his dear wife that's having to work today. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love and Thy great mercy and Thy great goodness. Hearken to us that cry unto Thee as children, Father. Discipline us according to Thy mercy and Thy grace, but cast us not from Thy presence. Father, we fail You each and every day. We're sinful people. All men are sinful men. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our only hope of glory. We thank You for the blessings that You have given to us, for the ability to learn of Jesus and try to become just like Him. And so we pray that You'll continue to do that work in our life through Your discipline to make us just like Christ. Father, we are so thankful for the preaching of the cross of Christ in this place. We're thankful for the 3 hours that we have on the radio. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity to put Your word out, to let people hear of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and nothing but the Bible. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity. Thank You for our internet ministry and the thousands of hits that we're having and the thousands of people that we're having influence on, in spite of us being very few. Father, we pray for the poor of this church, that You'll continue to bless us, that we can help the poor. Help us as we go forward to feed the homeless and the hungry today. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes, Father, we pray Thee. Father, Your word says, blessed is he who remembers the poor. The Lord will be with him in a time of trouble. And so we look forward to that promise that You'll always be with us and always go through us, with us, go through our trials and tribulations with us. Father, we ask a special blessing on each and every member of this congregation and all those that are here today and our visitors. Thank You, Father, for this day. Bless us as we go forward to feed the poor and the hungry, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to study this morning about prayer. So those of you who are going to keep up in your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. What a blessing this PowerPoint is. I know that y'all enjoy that out there. Those of you that are watching the PowerPoints, just fasten your seatbelt and off we'll go. Jesus prayed. If Jesus was God in the flesh, who became the Son of God, and He prayed to God the Father, how much more do we need to pray to God the Father? Prayer is asking, praise is thanking. And it's not a one-way communication. If you will read your Bible, God will speak back to you. He speaks as He has always spoken in His Word. For 3,500 years, God has spoken one way in His Word. You think about it, God had a choice of how to speak. He could speak out loud and all men would hear Him. But He tried that with the Jews, didn't He? When He gave the law of Moses, when He gave the Ten Commandments, and that didn't work. It didn't last till sundown, and they're building a golden calf. So, God could have spoken another way. He could have told one man, he could have put his spirit on one man and have that man tell other men and that man tell another man and that man tell another man. So let's try that. Larry, tell Jerry there, without being unduly circumlocutory, one could syllogistically extrapolate the premise of baptism. Can't do it, can you? Can't do it. He'd mess it up. Nobody can do that. And Jerry has a right to the same revelation from God that Larry does. So God had to figure out another way to speak, and that's how he speaks, is in his word. So Jerry could have the same shot at God that Larry has, that I have, that you have. All of you equally can know God if you will read your Bible, study your Bible, listen to our tapes and CDs, because they're all Bible. Very little yak-yak. Now, I've done some yak-yaking this morning. Now we're fixing to get into the Bible. Prayer is talking to God, asking God. Praise is thanking God. And you get the message from God in his word. And he spake this parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray. Not sometimes, but men ought always to pray and not faint. Men ought to always pray. People must think that I'm crazy, because when I drive down the street, I talk to God when I'm alone, generally speaking, and sometimes when other people are with me. When I pull into the hospital to park the car, I ask God for a parking space where I don't have to walk so far. And do you know something? Every time I have found a handicapped parking space close where I could park. Every time, not sometimes. I have been to the hospital thousands of times. Some of you here I've visited, hadn't I? Every time God has provided for me. Is that a miracle? Very small one, but yeah, he's in my life. He's working in my life, and he'll work in your life. Pray. Men ought always to pray. For everything, there's nothing wrong with asking God for a parking space. Amen. Especially when you're old and fat and don't feel good and you're like me. Just nothing wrong with it. And you know something we're going to find out in a few minutes? If you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Is it God's will that I go visit somebody in the hospital? Of course it is. Of course it is. Is it God's will that I not be put through a whole lot of hassle in doing it? I feel that it is, because I'm old and fat, don't feel good. I feel it's God's will. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Stay with it until you get a full answer from God. Stay with that prayer. Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. What do we think God is like? How do we picture God? What kind of picture do we have in our mind of God? People have different kinds of pictures in their mind about God. The fire-breathing legalist, he sees God as sitting on his throne with a great big hammer and fixing to squash everybody like a bug. Well, I don't see God as that kind of God. Amen. Of course, the liberal, he sees God as nobody and doesn't care about anything. He sees God like his own self in a mirror. God's not like that. And he spake this parable unto this end, and men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. This guy was like a lot of judges. Didn't care anything about justice. He cares about his own self. Amen. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. This is designed to be a funny story. This gal is like Tugboat Annie. This gal's a Ma Kettle, if you're old enough to remember what Ma Kettle was like. This gal knew her rights and was not about to be put off about her rights. And so she came continually to the judge, constantly bugging the judge and hassling the judge. Do you think God is like that? You think he's like an unjust judge? That we have to bug him and hassle him to give us what we need? And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, of course this man had a lot of self-love, didn't he? Though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear me out. And in the Greek there, that term, wear me out, is a slang term. It means give me a black eye. Give me a black eye. This gal is going to push him around till she gives him a black eye. That's the way he feels about it. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which crying him day and night to him, though he bear long with them? God is long-suffering, but God will avenge his elect who ask for justice. God will avenge his elect. He will do that. How much more is what is being said here? How much more will God avenge his elect versus an unjust judge who won't hear a widow? We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching. There's 1,000 links on there. You can study just about anything on the Bible. And I'd like to report to you, we're having another record month. We're averaging 2,000 hits a day. We have had 26,000 hits. Today is that's through the 13th, through midnight last night. So thank God. Isn't that wonderful that a poor church like us that can't afford anything but bologna sandwiches could have 3 hours on the radio every Sunday and minister to thousands on the internet? It must be that we might have our priorities right. It must be that for God to bless that. See, God will be successful if we do what he wants us to do. And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? And you see that word there, faith? The article is in there in the Greek. It says, will he find the faith on the earth? When Christ comes back again, at the end of time, will he find the faith on the earth? The kind of faith that he established. Will he find primitive New Testament Christianity, or will he find different kinds of faiths? Well, we're in the minority, aren't we? We are the minority. Whether we're black, white, or brown, yellow or red, doesn't matter at all. We in the churches of Christ are the minority in the world, but that's okay. Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen, didn't he? Nevertheless, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now this example of prayer, Jesus is going to give us first an example of how not to pray. Then he's going to give us an example of how to pray. For God's sakes, don't be praying like this first example now. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Publicans were the worst according to the Jews, the worst class of low-life people that you could find. Publicans were people that associated with them sorry Romans and with Gentiles. While a Pharisee was a keeper of the law, Pharisees were great scribes and keepers of the law. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed within himself to God, "I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I pray, I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." I, didn't he? A whole lot of eyes in there. A real judgmental, condescending attitude. Judgment is one of the hardest things for Christians. We need to stay as far away from judging others as we possibly can. Amen. And sometimes in the churches of Christ, we are the world's worst at that. Amen. Judging other people is not our job. Amen. It's not our job. Amen. I might see you doing something that I consider wrong, but I don't have all the facts. All I've got is information that you're doing something wrong once. Amen. I don't know if you went home and cried your heart out to God and said, "Oh God, I'm so sorry for doing that. Please forgive me for doing that." Then if you did that, see, I'd be judging you wrong, wouldn't I? How does God view that? Well, this Pharisee should have known better. If we'll turn now to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, will give us an example of what God thinks about the self-righteous. Speaking of the self-righteous, he says, which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou." Have y'all ever met anybody like that? I met a bunch of them that said, "Oh, don't shake hands with me. Don't stand close to me. Stand thou by thyself, for I am holier than thou." Now, what does God say about people like that? "These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day." Have you ever been locked up in a car with somebody smoking a great big cigar and you don't smoke? Huh? God says it's about like that when the self-righteous perform their smoking in front of people. It's just about like that. God is interested in humility. He is not interested in pride and arrogance and judgmental attitudes in people. He's not interested in that. This has been in the mind of God all through the Bible. This isn't just a fluke in one or two verses. God says about people like this again now, which say, "Stand by thyself and come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day." Sin is sin to God. We tend to put degrees on sin, while God views it all as sin. And so pride is even a worse sin than overt sins are sometimes. Arrogance is even a worse sin than overt sins are sometimes. So God doesn't appreciate that type of attitude. Let's look again at Luke 18, beginning in verse 13. "And the publican standing afar off would not so much lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me. And you see where it says in your translation there, a sinner. In the Greek, it is the sinner, not a sinner. The article is used there. What is this man saying? He's saying to God, I am the worst of sinners. God, have mercy upon me, the worst of sinners. And the contrast to that is a man saying, God, I am the best of men. Who does God hear? Well, the guy who's saying that he's the worst of sinners. The one who will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I love that verse because I'm the sinner. I am the sinner. Not somebody else. I, Kelly, I am the sinner. That's what I am. And even though I try from morning till night to do my very best, I still don't. I still don't. I fail no matter how hard I try. I still do not measure up to the perfect standard of righteousness that God has for us. I don't measure up, and I'm telling you, you don't measure up. None of us measure up, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not somebody, all. And God says there is none righteous, no, not one, not even one. There's none that doeth good. They've all together, God says, you put them all together and they're all together unprofitable. If you added up the good of all men together, it would still be unprofitable. Even my good works and my good deeds, if I give a bologna sandwich out downstairs, I think, boy, I've done a great deed. That isn't a great deed. That's just what I'm required to do, just what I ought to do. That's not a great deed. What is a great deed is Jesus had to give that bologna sandwich out. He would have changed that person's life forever. They'd never be the same. Jesus came to show us what God's like. And what God is like is he changes lives. But the publican standing afar off, sitting on the back row, I'll never forget when I came to this church 16 years ago for the first time. I sit on that very back row. That's my seat. You're just keeping it warm for me. That's my seat back there. That very back seat. And I beat my breast and said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, I just want to go to heaven. Nothing more. Just go to heaven. And he raised me up and anointed me before my enemies. All of those who hated me without cause are not here today. All of them. And there was some Pharisees around here then. Wasn't there, Kenneth? It's bad Kenneth wouldn't even come. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, counted as righteous, reckoned as righteous, imputed as if righteous. He's not righteous, but he went down to his house counted as if righteous, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Poor Jordy. Jordy had a third grade education. 16 years ago, they hired a preacher here, gave him a big fancy party over across the street, had a big banner, said, welcome to the so-and-so family. So Jordy just didn't know no better and went to sit down at the head table up there. And so they made him get up and move. Made him get up and move, didn't they, Jordy? All them people that exalted themselves are not here anymore. And Jordy, who humbled himself, is now my chief of staff. I can't think of a better man as a chief of staff. You know what that means? That means that I don't accept any complaints against Jordy. That's what that means. We had a guy here who was acting up, called me on the phone a couple of years ago, and he said he tried to complain about Jordy. And I said, I don't entertain any complaints about Jordy. If you can't get along with Jordy, you can't get along with your own mama. Don't try to tell me something about Jordy. Jordy ain't going to tell you anything that I didn't tell him not to do. Tell you that right now. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So that's how to pray. How not to pray, the Pharisee. And how to pray, like the publican, humbly. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Another example of prayer. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus is off praying somewhere. And his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Again, if Jesus needed to pray, felt the need to pray, how much more do we need to pray? Now, let me talk to you a minute about prayer. Prayer should be addressed to God through Christ. You should, dear Father, Abba, Father, any way you want to address God, address the prayer to God. And you end it in Jesus' name, amen. And anything in the middle is all right if you pour your heart out to him and tell the truth. Amen. Say the truth. Amen. Tell God the truth. Amen. Tell God the truth. If you've got a drug habit, tell God, I've got a drug habit. God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Deliver me from this. I need deliverance from this. If you got a drinking habit, pray to God. Cry to him and say, God, save me. Help me. Deliver me from this. I've got the taste in my mouth and I just can't give it up. If you got a habit of wild women or young boys or whatever your habit is, no matter what your sin is, tell God the truth. He knows it anyway. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, this is not what to pray, this is how to pray. This is not the very words that you're supposed to remember, like our Catholic friends do, where they call it saying our fathers. Now Jesus is going to give what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to look and we're going to see that it's different than the Lord's Prayer that's found in Matthew. If Jesus wanted us to memorize and pray this specific prayer, it would be the same. There wouldn't be a difference. Now, Jesus is God. He didn't make a mistake here. What he did is he made this prayer different than the one that he gave in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, so that we could see that this is how to pray, not what to pray. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father. Now, this prayer has an invocation. It has petitions that have six requests, and then it has a doxology, a close in praise of God. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, blessed, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, This is prior to Jesus going to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, raised from the dead, 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of God came. We don't need to be praying for the kingdom of God to come. The kingdom of God has already come, and it's called the Church of Christ. Now, if you pray for the kingdom of God to come and you have in mind the second coming of Christ when he will deliver up the kingdom to the Father, then that'd be fine. That'd be okay to ask for that. You know, we all ought to pray for that. When you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, blessed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." See, that's different. That's different than Matthew's account, isn't it? "Give us day by day." That's different than Matthew's account, isn't it? "Give us day by day our daily bread." Learn to depend on God. Learn to depend on God. God wants us to depend on him. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD, and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist, just like a hyphenated word, dash is a key, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching. There's thousands, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of links, hundreds of sermons on there. You can study just about anything in the Bible on that website. "Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us like a shepherd. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And the word there actually in the Greek is "from the wicked one." Deliver us from the wicked one. Slewfoot wants us. Slewfoot has every one of your numbers. Amen. Every one of you. And Slewfoot wants you. He wants to get you to goof. He wants you to get in the habit of goofing. And he wants you to start practicing goofing. And you know, speaking of prayer, our prayer's been answered. Brother Larry got busted and he's in jail. And so, praise God. Some people can't be saved out here on the street. Some people can be saved in the joint and they can't be saved out here on the street. And if he can't practice Christianity out here on the street, God will just put him in the joint and let him practice it there. So thanks be to God. I've been praying that he'd be busted ever since he goofed. And I love him like a brother, and I know you do too. I know you do too. And don't you know he's ashamed now? Can't you imagine the shame? You know, don't you, Dang? Can't you imagine the shame? Oh, God, the shame I've been through in my life. Yeah. Shame. What terrible thing it is. But deliver us from the evil one. And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves.'" Bernie Woods. "Bernie, hey Bernie, I need 3 loaves of bread, brother. Get up, get out of bed, give me 3 loaves of bread." Bernie, wake up in there, Bernie. "Give me 3 loaves of bread, man. Come on. Bernie, wake up." Do we think God's like that? Huh? Woods is cold-hearted. God isn't like that. You don't have to go to God like that. Hey, Bernie, I need 3 loaves of bread. That isn't what God's like. God's not like that at all. And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. See, for a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.'" Eating was sacrimonial. A traveling man, a wayfaring man, must be fed in the Bible. And he's as hungry, turn thou not away, the book says. And so, for a friend of mine's in his journey, come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. God's not like that. We have an available God. You know, I want to go back up. I have, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, I should have gone over and talked to you about Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5. We compare this to the end of verse 4. And when thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And you see this in Jews, the way that they pray now, at the Wailing Wall today. They got their little old beanie on, they got their thing, they're reciting. And see, Hebrew makes rhyme and rhythm, and you can see them dancing and bouncing with the rhyme and the rhythm. And they're up there at the Wailing Wall praying. And what they're doing is they're repeating over and over and over again ritualistic prayers or the Psalms. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. So if you do your alms to be seen of men, you're already going to have your reward. There won't be anything in heaven for you. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into that closet, and it's not necessarily a literal closet. You can pray silently, and that's in your closet. You know, you can have a car full of people, and you can be praying, pray silently. Enter into that closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. In other words, don't repeat the same old our Father, type of prayer. Don't use vain repetitions as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But ye therefore, be ye not therefore lacking them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, not these words exactly, but after this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. See, that's different than Luke's account. Give us this day, Luke says, day by day, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See that word as? Just like. I've got a dirty, rotten cousin. It's got my daddy's 1940 Mercury. I got a dirty, rotten cousin that's got my daddy's 1940 Mercury. And that 1940 Mercury belongs to me. And I grew up riding in that car, and it's Como Blue, beautiful car. I love that car. I wish I had that car. And if I get to thinking about that cousin of mine, I'm telling you, by this afternoon, if I think about it very much, I'll go over and jerk that punk up and I'll smack him around some and I'll get that car. I'll get that car. That car's my car. And I can talk myself into that. It won't take me long at all just to get me started on it. Just get me started on it. Yeah. And so you see what we got to do? The first enemy that we have is self-talk. That's the first enemy that we have. We start talking to ourselves, we pump ourselves all up, boy, and I'm telling you, I can get on my toes and be ready to box. Yeah, if that's all it takes to get my 1940 Mercury, I'm ready to box. Yeah. So forgive us our trespasses as just like I forgive that sorry, rotten, no good cousin of mine. Just like that, Lord, yes. Just like that. Just exactly like that. Forgive me just like I forgive him. That's stronger than mustard gas, ain't it? And forgive us our debts as just like we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Oh, like a shepherd, lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from the evil, from the wicked one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. None of this is in Luke's account. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You want to know the one thing God won't forgive? There's only one thing that he won't forgive. And that's if you don't forgive. He'll forgive all manner of sin. All manner of sin. You can't commit that sin against the Holy Ghost that's mentioned in Matthew 12 today. You cannot commit that. To do that, you had to see Jesus work a miracle and say that Jesus did that by the power of the devil. That's the only way that you can do that, and you're not alive back there 2,000 years ago. You can't commit that unforgivable sin. So the good news to us is there's no such thing as an unforgivable sin other than if I don't forgive that rotten, sorry, no good cousin of mine. That's the only way my sins won't be forgiven. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So he's a good God. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Now back to Luke chapter 11. We'll pick up and just read through verse 5 and follow and get down to where we were. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend that shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey and coming to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed, and I cannot rise and give unto thee. You afraid God's going to be in bed? God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Let's go to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. You ought to put a period there in your translation if you want to know how this really ought to be translated. And then the next thing, from whence cometh my help, is a question mark after it. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Well, he's about to tell us. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Don't you worry about praying at the wrong time and going to God and him being in bed and him being too busy to fool with you. God deals with millions of prayers every minute. There's 6 billion people on earth. If they all prayed, he could handle it. He could handle it. He could hear them all. Don't you worry about that in the least. So God's not like that. God is an available God, and he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise, your neighbor, my friend Bernie Woods, when I knock on his door and say, Bernie, Bernie, give me 3 loaves, brother. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, Yet because of the importunity, because it's a hassle, I'm telling you now, you come knocking on my door at 3 in the morning, it's going to be a hassle. Be a hassle. Now, you probably get 3 loaves of bread if that's all you want. But most people that come knock on my door at 3 in the morning are dope fiends, and they want another hit off that crack pipe, and they got some kind of song and dance. Boy, you never lived if you heard a song and dance from one of these dope fiends. We've got a girl here, she's just huge, Linda Engle, and I'm telling one on her. About 10 years ago, I'm in my house, and I've got gates around my house and fence and petunias, and between every petunia is a Chinese holly. And it's Sunday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, and I hear it's knocking on my door. And I said, man, the gate's locked and everything. How did anybody get in here? And I look out, and it's Linda Engle. And I said, what's up, Linda? She said, I just got to have $20 for medicine and blah, blah, blah. And boy, and she has got a dance. She's got a song and dance. So I said, how'd you get in here, Linda? She said, I just need $20, Brother Kelly. I really do. So I sent her on her way, not rejoicing. She didn't get $20. And I had to go out there and open the gate, let her out. Well, she came forward here about 3 or 4 months ago. And was asked in prayer, and she straightened up. She's left the dope alone. I'm really proud of her. And so she was up the front here, and I said, Linda, how did you get in that yard? I said, did you really cry on that fence? She said, yeah, I did, Brother Kelly. I mean, she's huge. I don't know how in the world she climbed that fence. But I say unto you that he will not arise and give him because he is his friend. Yet because of the importunity, because it's a hassle, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. God wants our prayer life to progress, to grow. He wants us to grow from ask, which is I want. Lord, I want a brand new Cadillac, and I'd like to go back to Hawaii, and I'd like to be rich. He wants me to graduate from that, from ask, to seek. What do you want for me, Lord? Well, you mean you want me to be poor? I'm a river to my people. You really want that? And then he wants us to go to knock, which is, I will. I'll do what you want me to do. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to progress in our prayer life from God, I want, to God, what do you want, to God, I will do what you want. Now, that's the hardest thing, is to do what he wants us to do. And I say, and you ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Of course not, Jesus. Of course not. Little 2-3-year-old baby come up to you and say, Daddy, Daddy, I'm hungry. Give me a piece of bread. Would you give him a stone? Play a trick on him? Are you afraid God will play a trick on you if you pray to him and ask him? Give me a stone. Will he ask a fish? Will he, for a fish, give him a serpent or an eel? Is the word there actually in the Greek. Eels were unclean like snakes. Of course not. God didn't play tricks on his children. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion, a woolly spider in a little bitty baby's hand? Who'd do such a thing? Not even the worst of men would do such a thing. One in millions upon millions upon millions of fathers. You'd have to look to find some snake that'd do something like that to his baby. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more, which is the theme of this entire chapter that we've read here, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? What does He really want to give us? Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And how do you ask? Well, you just march right down here. You just march right down here and tell Him, I'm coming to you according to the gospel. The only hope that we have of salvation is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The debt is fully paid. God has made all the provisions. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't? Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which you also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Well, Psalms 2, Psalms 22, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 61, all kinds of Scriptures, 300 of them telling us about Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is prophesied over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Now the Bible teaches if we believe that gospel, there's no reason for us to be lost. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on His name, John tells. But you need to add that belief, faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him, the book says. The Bible teaches we need to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible teaches we need to repent. For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And finally, the Bible teaches we need to be baptized into Christ. Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, being buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and you want to have your sins washed away, there's no way to do it but that way. You believe, you have faith, you confess, you repent, and you baptize. You don't pray your way through. We've studied prayer this morning. Some churches, they tell you, oh, come on down here to the mourner's bench and pray your way through. That's not how you get saved. That's how you stay saved, and that's how you keep a good relationship with God is prayer. But how you get saved is you hear, you believe, you have faith, you confess, you repent, and you're baptized into Christ. If you're here this morning and you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song. You just march right down here to the front, meet me down at the front. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee to the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Oh,
husband's daddy and your husband.